It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And it's been an early spring, lots of things happening out there, and just about everything that I've been observing is well ahead of the projected or average dates that we have for them. I want to start off today's program talking a little bit about loons, and the loons have returned to northern Minnesota. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. I think one of the most telling comments came from our good friend Egon, who sent along an email saying, you know, our lakes are open and the loons have not yet returned. And it's an interesting thought to have, to share at this moment. What would it be like if there were no loons, or if the loons weren't able to survive here in northern Minnesota with the lake conditions, and that silence that followed the opening of the lakes was really telling. It was spooky in a way, because I'm so used to having the ice go out of my lake and hearing loons the next day or that same day, that this year proved to be the exception to the rule. It was really unusual. The ice went out of Crooked Lake on the 31st of March this year, and the first loon showed up on the 10th of April, and it's only a single, and I've only heard him call one or two times. He's been very, very quiet, and I guess this isn't unusual. Loons return to basically to their nesting site, not as a pair, but as individuals, and they bond to the nesting site rather than to one another. So when they return, there may be a staggered return. Paul Strong, in his book on loons, writes that usually the males come back first, followed by the females at a little bit later date. I went back and checked the year 2000, because that was another year when the ice went out very early, and I wanted to see the relationship between the dates there. So this year, 31st of March, ice out, 10th of April, loons return. In 2000, the 26th of March, the ice went out of Crooked Lake, and on the 6th of April, the loons returned. So just about the same amount of time in there, roughly 10 days, but so we had that same effect in the year 2000. Every other year where the ice went out, say, on average, which is on Crooked Lake, it's around the 15th of April. In every one of those years, the relationship between the ice out and the returning loons is almost simultaneous. It's within a day or 2 days at the most. Otherwise, just those two exceptions to that rule about loons returning. So I guess the loons are coming back, and we should be thankful that they are. But at the same time, we must remain vigilant to make sure that we don't do things that cause loons to not be able to survive here. And that includes, you know, respecting their nesting areas, making sure that we keep our water quality up, a whole host of things that we need to do to make sure that our loons don't end up not finding it a good place to live. That's all I'm going to say about loons. Many other birds have returned to the Northland over the past week. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers are back, and they're busy rattling on different things. They like the sauna stove pipe at my house. One year they preferred the Weber kettle, which had a nice loud banging, clanging noise. They migrate, obviously, and as they return, they become, they need to establish territory, and they can find their way into a niche with the hairies, the downies, and the pileateds, and the red bellies who stay here year round and have already established their territories. They began to do that back in January, but the yellow bellied sapsuckers are back, and they're going to be competing with one another, not so much those other resident woodpeckers, but one another in order to establish territories. And they're going to be wrapping on mailboxes and sauna stove pipes and all kinds of loud things, TV antennas, whatever they can find that'll give off a good loud noise, because they need to figure out where they're going to be as spring moves into summer and they need to raise their families. Another woodpecker that's coming back and has been seen in the area, though I haven't seen one yet, is the northern flicker. My wife saw one yesterday. I have some reports from others who have seen flickers over the last few days. These are also woodpeckers, and they are ground-feeding woodpeckers. They eat a lot of ants. But they'll be coming back, and they'll go through the same struggle to establish a territory that they can defend and maintain as they try to become, try to get set up and raise their young. And speaking of territories, I was out looking at the eagle's nest the other day, checking on the eagle, making sure she's all right, and she is. She just peers over the edge of the nest at me. I can just see the top of her head and her beak as she's watching me as I watch her. Well, I was out there the other day. The male flew by. And the resident raven, I have a pair of ravens that nest on the property, and the resident raven was following the male and giving him a little bit of what to, just hassling him a little bit. And all at once, almost overhead, the eagle spun around in the air just in a split second. I mean, I didn't even see the maneuver that he made. What I saw and what the raven saw was the business end of that eagle facing the raven. The raven is right behind the eagle, and all of a sudden the eagle is facing backwards in the air, talons extended, and looking at the raven like, you want a little bit of this? Just keep coming. Well, the raven decided he'd done his duty in chasing the eagle off of his territory, and he peeled off and went back home. But there's always something going on out there that's kind of interesting to watch. I want to say a few words about flowering plants before we go too far. The woods is full of flowering maples right now and pussy willows, and on a more subtle level, the beaked hazel and the American hazel, though they are at the end of their flowering now. The beaked hazel and the American hazel are just about done flowering. I haven't seen any pollen coming out of any of the male catkins, and the female catkins are starting to look a little bit dark red, kind of going towards black as they wither and having done their job, and that is to move the pollen into the ovaries where the nuts will form. They've done that, and so that's kind of fading. But the maples are spectacular right now. The brighter the red color, the more likely they are to be females. Maples are one of those crazy trees that can be male or female or both. And so you have to kind of look at them. If you have a maple in your yard, pull down one of the low branches and look at it. If you see all these tall anthers that are the male flowers with the little pollen capsules on the ends, then you're looking at a male. If the stigmas are present and they're sort of like little red fingers sticking up, those are the females. And you can see those differences just by looking at the trees from a distance too. The bright red ones are the females, and the oranger ones are the males. Along with them, the pussy willows are quite startlingly, I guess it's green. If you look closely, they look kind of, some are yellow, some are green, some have little red flowers on them. It depends on the species. But the overall effect is a kind of a pastel green mixed in with that pastel red of the maples. And the scenery out there is just fabulous as you look at all those flowers that are blooming. On a smaller scale, leatherwood is really blooming along nicely now. If you live near some rich soils, now's a chance to go out and look at the leatherwood. It's a beautiful shrub. It's got wonderful architecture, really interesting looking. Doesn't grow in clumps, always grows as individuals here and there throughout the forest. Look under basswoods or old stands of aspen, oaks, sugar maples. Those are good places to look for leatherwood. It's a shrub. It's festooned with yellow flowers right now. Good chance to check those out and enjoy them. The red elderberries are coming along very nicely. I saw one yesterday where you could actually see the entire branch structure or leaf structure. The whole petiole was out. All of the leaflets were extended. And that's quite an advancement. The flowers right now are about, maybe a half an inch in diameter, and a lot of them look kind of like little purple broccolis, and they're just gorgeous to look at. Rhubarb is up in my yard. Bloodroot is up. Some reports of bloodroot blooming. The common lilacs, the flower buds on the lilacs are just, or not flower buds, the leaf buds are just starting to peel off, so you can actually start to see some of the individual leaf ends there. If you get down into the swamps, bog birch, the male catkins are pretty prominent on the bog birch right now. Leather leaf, which is a small plant growing in the bog, has these sort of long lines of flowers that sort of hang down. They aren't open yet, but they will be open soon. The flower reminds me a lot of the flower on the blueberry plant. They're sort of bell-shaped and white, but they hang in great long rows underneath the leather leaf plant. So look at the leather leaf. While you're there, check out the American tamaracks. They are greening up just as we speak. Little dots of green as the needles emerge from that little cluster at the bottom. That thing is called a fascicle. And out of that fascicle come all these needles. If you're looking at the tamaracks, or if you're looking at a European larch, which is a relative of the tamarack, a European tamarack it might be called, check out the male and female flowers. The male flowers are sort of yellowish green and, maybe the size of the end of your little finger, about what the fingernail would be. And the female flowers on the tamaracks, when I last looked, which was, I think, Saturday, they were about a quarter of an inch long. They were magenta on the upper part and sort of a bluish green base. Just absolutely gorgeous. And the European larch, the female flower is bigger, but the colors are about the same, sort of a bluish green with magenta. And the magenta on the European larch, the tips of those bracts, I suppose they're stigmas, on that female flower are green. So, gosh, if you get a chance, just go look at a tamarack and try and find one of the flowers. It's well worth the effort. Just stunning. Box elders are getting ready to open up. The flowers are open, but you can't yet see the big dangly anthers that are the male flowers on the box elders. They're coming along pretty nicely. I've been watching them. Osprey are back. June berries are opening up. As the leaves begin to open on the June berries, you'll notice all this white fuzz, fur, as it were, on this stuff. And they are just gorgeous to look at. Insects over the past week, lots of morning cloak butterflies. The spring azures, they're little blue, baby blue butterflies. And they are the first butterflies to emerge from chrysalis. They overwinter as a chrysalis, and they emerge this time of year, and you will perhaps have been lucky enough to notice one by now, and if you haven't, why, keep your eyes out for these little blue butterflies that are probably flitting around down by your feet. Just gorgeous to look at. Final notes, there's a ton more things. Well, trailing arbutus just began to bloom, and you want to find a patch of trailing arbutus and then get down on your hands and knees and put your face in amongst those blossoms and inhale deeply, because they are one of the most magnificent smells of spring, and they are just absolutely wonderful to smell. So get in there, check out the trailing arbutus. They're little five-petaled white flowers. You'll know you're looking at trailing arbutus if you see that the stem is all covered with these red hairs, and that will tell you that you're in fact smelling trailing arbutus, and they've begun to bloom now. I wanted to cover just a little bit about the grackles, which are very prominently around right now, and there are several things you can observe with grackles. Right now you'll see they're dividing, they come up usually in huge flocks, and then they divide up into these flocks of five or six birds, and they'll do one of two things. One, they'll either have a really slow flight. All five or four or five of these birds will be flying very slowly. The one in the lead is the female. The four or five behind her are males. And when they land on the ground, the males will poke their heads up, look up into the sky. They'll kind of fan their tail a little bit and extend their wings, and they'll raise up their feathers on their head and neck. And they're basically trying to establish dominance so that they might be the ones to mate with her. The other thing that they will do, besides that ruffing of the feathers and flying very slowly alongside her, is that they will, the males, you can always identify the males, because this time of year they're flying with their tails held in a V, sort of like the keel of a boat. So watch the grackles and see if you can observe some of the behaviors that they exhibit this time of year. It won't be long and they'll be nesting, and then once they get done nesting, all of that behavior sort of disappears and they form into these huge flocks that show up in your yard and eat all kinds of insects right out of the grass in your yard. So watch the grackles, watch everything for that matter. And when you see something new or unusual, by all means, get in touch with us. We're waiting to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for today. Thanks very much. We'll be back again next week.